Welcome to 3GT, the podcast where three guys, a pastor, a parishioner, and a professor, theologize about life's issues from a Reformed perspective without losing their sense of humor.
Well, since the last time we three were together, Kyle has traveled with his wife, I heard. Where did you go, Kyle, and what were you up to?
Well, at the end of December, Rachel and I celebrated 10 years of marriage. So at least in some ways, a pretty big milestone for us.
Yes, and, congratulations.
Thank you very much. And for our honeymoon originally, when we got married, we our parents treated us out to a Caribbean cruise. And so we had headed down to Florida and went on an 8-day cruise, which was wonderful. And we decided for our 10-year anniversary, we would, by and large, do the same thing. So we treated, a very gracious person treated us to a 10th anniversary cruise. And so we took off from Galveston, Texas. And originally, it was supposed to be a 5-day cruise. But we had fog delays, so the port of Galveston was closed on the day we were supposed to leave, which postponed the cruise. And the only ramification of that is that we were supposed to make two stops, one to Cozumel, Mexico, and then the next day we were supposed to stop in Progreso, Mexico. And they had to cut that second stop out and turn it into a 4-day cruise. But so that's what we did, and you know, in many ways, I promised my wife that it was going to be a week where I spoiled her. We have an 8.5-year-old daughter, and my wife has not had a childless night in 8.5 years.
Wow.
And so this was the first time she was ever away overnight from all the children. And so it was just, it was a very relaxing time. We did a whole lot of nothing. I brought a book and I didn't even open my book once. I kept needing to, but I didn't at all. And it was,
those are the best kinds of vacations there.
It was wonderful. And so, we took a day in Cozumel, Mexico. And for a birthday present for my wife, I rented her a private beach cabana. That had a waiter and all you can eat. And so we just, for 6 hours laid on a cabana in the beach and, it was really good. It was probably the most relaxing, wonderful experience of my life. So,
And Rachel was able to relax apart from the children.
Yes. Which, we were a little nervous about. My wife already has a hard time relaxing, but, boy, she enjoyed it just as much as I did. So we're glad for that, But, you know, speaking of travels, though, Aaron's quite the traveler, or I think he mentioned in the last episode that his job has taken him all over the place. So while I went to Cozumel, Aaron, what are some of the places you've been to?
Oh, boy. I think probably one of the most interesting places I've been to is Thailand. I really enjoyed Thailand. I was in Bangkok only for a couple of days, but I would love to go back, visit that city again, and then go visit some of the more touristy spots as well. Just a really interesting city, kind of undergoing a bit of a rebirth. It's busy. It's crazy. There's gazillions of people. Just really interesting. Probably my most enjoyable place I've been, though, is Costa Rica. I took my family there we went there a couple years ago. So I don't really work in September because most of what I do is working with schools and universities, and everybody's back to school in September. So the last thing they want is a consultant or a professional development guy coming in and bothering everybody the first week of school. So nobody calls me in September. So we homeschool the kids. We're like, let's take school to Costa Rica. So we did. We cashed in a bunch of my air miles, found a couple Airbnbs, and spent some time on the beach, spent some time in the mountains, and did a whole lot of nothing, kind of what you're talking about, Kyle. Laid around in hammocks. Hung out on the beach, went for hikes, saw some really interesting wildlife, and that was probably one of the most enjoyable things I've ever done. Primarily because I was traveling not for work, finally, but also because it was just a really great place.
That's awesome.
You guys are you're quite exotic.
Well, Barry, you're a traveling person too, aren't you?
Yeah, but it's a little different. mine's more work related. I'm actually recording this in a hotel room down in Orlando, Florida, and actually this morning I had to defend my project for my Doctor of Ministry degree, my dissertation. So.
Oh, so you weren't visiting the mouse?
No.
Are you going to steal over to the Magic Kingdom while you're in Orlando?
I hear it's the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty relieved, so I don't really need all that right now. I'm just pretty content sitting here in my shorts, enjoying a little relief.
So you're down there. You defended your thesis for your doctorate in ministry. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I met this morning, and thank the Lord it was approved. So I have to do a few minor revisions, but I get to graduate in May, so that's the good news. So I'm thankful.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And a doctorate of the ministry, could you explain that for anybody that might not be too familiar? What kind of degree is that? And what's some of the things that you had to do for that?
Well, it's rather than like a PhD, which is a more academic degree, the Doctor of Ministry is designed particularly to help pastors grow and improve on their own ministries. And so it's designed, usually the demon, they call it, you have to be careful not to hear demons, but they shorten it to demon degree. Typically, it consists of, and this is the program that I was in here at Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, consists of 8 courses, and you take courses. Some are required, others you can elect on things from. I took a class on the Trinity by Robert Lethem, and on pastoral care by Derek Thomas, took church planting course, one on leadership. So there's a range of different subjects that you have to take or you can take. And typically before you arrive, you're to have read anywhere from a dozen to 15 books on the subject, write up some of your thoughts. Some of the professors required other projects before you got actually to the class. And then you spend a block week with other students, with a professor. And then from that, you have to complete a class project, usually a paper from anywhere to 15 to 25 pages. When you do that 8 times, then you get to work on propose a thesis, and when that's approved, work on a dissertation over the course of usually 2 years. And so that's what I've been working on here and defended today.
So Barry, you mentioned it wasn't a research degree. Would this fall into what are often referred to as a professional degree? I know in education, we have the EDD, the education doctor, yes. Doctor of education, medicine, the MD, that's a professional degree versus a research degree. So similar to that?
Yes, similar in that nature. And I found everyone in my classes and the projects I would do for them fit right into the ministry that I was doing. So, for instance, one of the courses I teach now at RPTS is a course on church planting. And in one of the classes I took on church planting, I designed that course as my project. So it's just so helpful. And even before I went to RPTS and I was a pastor, began the program, Robert Lethem's class on the Trinity just transformed my thinking about pastoral ministry and how to conduct that with respect to really a Trinitarian doctrinal base. And so from the prayers I offered on Sunday morning to the arrangement of the service to thinking about how I ministered to and dealt with people, that class was very transformative in my thinking. So I'm just very thankful. I'm glad to be done, but I also feel like I've really grown a tremendous amount going through the program, and it's been a real encouragement to me.
Hey, Barry, what do you think would be some of the advantages to an institution like RPTS in having you pursue your doctorate at an institution other than RPTS? What are you going to bring to RPTS by having received your degree from another institution?
Well, I think cross-pollination is very healthy, and it's good to learn from other brothers in different branches of the church. And I'd probably get in trouble for saying this, but I think if a man in a particular denomination goes through his denominational seminary for his MDiv degree, then he might want to think, if he's going to go on in education, think about going to a different place just to get other perspectives. I think it causes him to both deepen and broaden his knowledge of theology, particularly applied to certain areas. So I think that's a healthy thing. I remember when I was at the University of Michigan and I was pursuing grad school in mathematics, I think it was probably my grades that kept the University of Michigan from accepting me. But the nice thing they said to me was that we think it would be best for you to go to another school. I think they were being nice to me, but just kind of sighing in relief that I wasn't going to stay there any longer.
Yeah, and the higher education in general, I know, likes to mix things up. I mean, it's very rare for someone to receive a doctoral program at an institution and then immediately be brought on as a faculty member at that institution. That simply isn't done because of what you're just talking about. They like to cross-pollinate. They like to have ideas spread around. That's not to say you couldn't ever go back to an institution and that you have once received a degree at to teach or to serve in some academic capacity, but it's very rare for that to happen immediately. Oftentimes, you know, they do like to get out a little bit and get some other perspectives. So, fairly standard procedure actually to you know, especially if you're working at a particular institution, to receive your degree from another one. So it's certainly not unusual.
One of the things I like about the program at RTS is its flexibility. They actually allowed me to take some courses through Ligonier, which also has its own DMed course. So I was able to go over there and take a couple of my classes. And one of my friends who's taking his degree through RTS actually went back to our own seminary for one of the classes just because he wanted to study that subject under one of our professors. So I like the flexibility that was a part of this program.
So kind of in line with that, if I can broaden the conversation a little bit from some of the things both of you guys have said, you know, Barry, you had mentioned just the benefit of cross-pollination, and you said something to the extent of if a pastor decides to go on in education. And I'd be really interested, both from Barry, your perspective as a professor, but Aaron, yours as well as a congregant. What do you guys think about pastors continuing their formal education? What are some of the advantages to a pastor doing that in pastoral ministry? And maybe what would you guys think are some of the disadvantages?
Well, I know that for me, once I graduated with my MDiv from RPTS, I had done a mathematical graduate degree prior to that. I was just ready to be out of school and never come back. So I never thought I would actually go back and do further studies. But I do think that we're to be lifelong learners and as pastors, that we never should get to the point where we think that we've arrived in our understanding of a theology of the truths of the Bible. So we've got to be lifelong learners. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to go back to school. I think we should be readers and listeners, and we can learn in so many, many different ways. But I think it might be a healthy thing for some pastors to really consider going and getting further degrees, whether they want to go pursue something more academic, to stretch their minds that way and pursue something like a THM degree, or again, if they want to do something that's more of a practical bent in the Doctor of Ministry. I think certain men are quite gifted, and to go and pursue a PhD would also be beneficial. I think it really depends. Part of the answer to that question is on the interests and the giftedness of the man. One of the dangers, I think, is that we shouldn't make men who wouldn't go on, who may be doing just fine and fruitful in their ministries, make them think that they should or have to go pursue a further degree, or make them in any way, shape, or form feel inferior. I know some wonderful, the best pastors that I at least have ministered in my life haven't necessarily had a further degree beyond their seminary, basic seminary education, and I think that's just fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I'm trying to think back through my own history as a church member. I'm pretty sure all of my churches I've ever been a part of have had, you know, a pastor who's gone to seminary, who has an MDiv or an equivalent degree of some sort. And most of the pastors that I can think of were always this idea of lifetime learner that you talked about. And I certainly am a lifetime learner. I love continuing to learn new things, to study new things, just pick up a book, learn something new, you know, go take a class, try something new, partly just because I get bored real easily, but partly because I think that it's something we should all do in an inside and outside of our field of expertise, just to show that we have not actually arrived. I mean, I see formal education is really the beginning of one's education, not an end. And that's, you know, that's the educator in me who says, you know, use this as the opportunity to get the, you know, the broadest base you can to learn how to learn, so that when you're out on your own, you don't have a syllabus shoved in your face, you don't have a reading list shoved in your face, you can look around and go, you know what, I want to learn about this particular topic. Here's a handful of books I can dig into, or here's a little class I can take to get better in that area. And you don't have to rely necessarily on, you know, curriculum being thrown at you to do that. You can seek it out on your own. So I love the idea of pastors continuing to learn more formally or informally. And I hope that's always going on, just to keep learning and to expand on what they learn in seminary.
Right. And Kyle, we know you love to learn. You're a voracious reader. So maybe you should go on, and you didn't come to our seminary, so.
Oh, look at that. You're doing well on the shameless self-promotion,
this
Barry.
Shameless self-promotion has been brought to you by the Demon Program at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information, please visit rpts.edu.
There we
Thank
go.
Thank you. That sounds like the end of this episode.
Yeah, we didn't even put the ad in this time.
You know, can I offer a couple reflective thoughts on that?
You bet.
You know, I think it was Mark Jones. If you're familiar with Mark Jones, Mark Jones is a pastor in the PCA, who is quite a thorough theologian, got his PhD from Leiden University. And I remember reading an article by Mark Jones, even when I was still in seminary, on his advice to pastors pursuing further academic degrees. And he said, my first piece of advice to you is don't do it. Yes. My second piece of advice to you is don't do it. My third piece of advice to you is don't do it. And then he said, you know, my fourth piece of advice, if you're going to insist on doing it, and then he threw out some cautions. And you know, as a pastor, I've struggled because I do enjoy reading. I love theology. I love systematic theology, to be more precise. I gobble it up. You know, most people think Louis Burkhoff is boring bedtime reading, and I think it's one of the most exciting books. I love that kind of thing. But, you know, as I've wrestled with that, and as I thought through some furthering education, you know, I guess I'm reminded of the words Herman Witsius, who's my theologian of choice, once told his students when he became a professor that everything that he was going to do from that point forward, whether it was teaching, writing, or preaching, was going to be for their sake. And I guess as a pastor, I feel that burden, that if I were ever to go on to get education, it would, I hope and pray it would never be to the end of benefiting me, but the congregation that I've been given to, you know, and I think that's the big challenge for me is here in rural Kansas, with the congregation that the Lord has placed me in and a congregation I love a lot, would a further degree be beneficial to my ministry with these people? And you know, and I want to be Presbyterian as well, recognizing that I don't just have a responsibility to a local congregation. I have a responsibility to presbytery and to synod, and could the degree be helpful there? But I guess my primary concern is, what about my local congregation? And I guess that's one of my concerns. I'm not going to say it's wrong for pastors to go on and get further education, whether it's a professional degree or a research degree. But, you know, I think we really need to be thinking through, is this going to be beneficial to me and my platform or my future somewhere, or is this really going to be beneficial to my local congregation? That's where I struggle personally.
Yeah, well, I think that's hugely important. And I had been encouraged a time or two to pursue further studies earlier on in my life. And I just really concluded I had six children. I was busy in the pastoral ministry. And I just did not believe that that was going to be doing anything, but at that point in my life, serving myself. And I just didn't want to drag my family through it. So I think that perspective is very healthy, Kyle. And right now, you may not need to do this, but there may come a time where you feel called upon. That's why I did this, is simply to, I felt like it would help serve the church better, particularly in my calling to go to RPTS. So
yep.
I think that's really important to keep in mind.
Well, Barry, congratulations on that. I think I can speak for Aaron and for the RPC and as a whole that we're sure glad that you've disciplined yourself, and we rejoice with you that you've gotten the doctorate of ministry. Well, you'll be getting it in May, but we're glad that the hurdles and the obstacles have been met. So,
thanks so
congratulations
much.
Congratulations on that.
Yep. Thank you.
This episode of 3GT is sponsored by the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. RPTS is the fifth oldest seminary in the United States, and in its over 200 years of existence has maintained a theological fidelity to the Word of God. Housed in the historic Horn Mansion on the east end of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, RPTS is in a beautiful setting that invites you to come and study the great truths of the Scriptures. Though we're an old institution, we're not a static one. Our motto is study under pastors, and we have been busy developing programs and courses that will help prepare men and women for a life of service in God's kingdom in the 21st century. As I travel about the church and talk to people about theological education, many people wonder about it. I have young men ask me, how do I know if I'm being called into the ministry, or wondering if they could handle classwork at the seminary level. Young ladies often wonder if it would be good for them to get some theological education so that they could serve the church and Christ's kingdom more efficiently. And to them, I often say what I'm going to say to you now. Why not take a glimpse into RPTS? For we now offer many of our classes online in our distance learning program. And I have a special offer for you at this time. If you would like to audit one of our classes just to see what it would be like to study at RPTS, you can do that for a total price of only $99. Yes, just $99 to audit one of our courses. If you'd be interested in doing that, all you have to do is send an email to apply@rpts.edu. That's APPLY at rpts.edu, and mention that you heard about this on 3GT. If you'd like to find out more about the seminary, you can go to our website at rpts.edu.